This is Jay Sekulow, law enforcement's catastrophic failure in Florida.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Are you really not taking any responsibility for the multiple red flags that were brought to the attention of the Broward Sheriff's Office about this shooter before the incident, whether it was people near him, close to him, calling the police
Jake, I could only take responsibility for what I knew about.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I've given amazing leadership to this agency.
Amazing leadership?
Yes, Jake. There's a lot of things we've done throughout this. You don't measure a person's leadership by a deputy not going in.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. We want to take a look back. We stayed off the topic for about a week, just trying to let the nation heal and not get into the particulars. But we've had a chance now, as school is about to return to the high school in Florida, where this catastrophic shooting took place just a week ago, that we wanted to take a look at where the failures are. Because I think what we have to look as a country is there's a lot of talk about gun control. There's a lot of talk about what can be done. Let me tell you what was not done. What was not done was the FBI did not do its job and the Broward County Sheriff's Office did not do their job. And that's just fact. The FBI failed because their public access line received the tip. That tip was direct. It identified the assailant and identified his motive and identified what he was desiring to do and the place he was going to do it. And that tip, which was supposed to be top priority, never moved from the public access line call center, I believe in West Virginia, to the Miami field office. That's one. And now we learn that the sheriff of Broward County, despite his complimenting himself on his leadership, that they had multiple catastrophic failures there, including CNN is reporting over 40 phone calls warning about this individual, the perpetrator, and now upwards of four sheriffs not willing to engage the assailant during the context of the crime. These are catastrophic failures on multiple points. And while there's a lot of discussion on guns and gun control, that is really not the, if we're being honest here, that is not going to solve this problem. This was a preventable act, and it was a failure of law enforcement, pure and simple. We'll take your calls on it at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, I mean, I think never before have we seen this much information continue to come out after an event. You know, we have seen these past failures by law enforcement to act on one or two tips or notices about individuals or problems with individuals. And with the Orlando shooting, Texas, where you had the problem reporting the crime that was committed on the military base and charged in the military tribunal, where someone spent time in prison for a violent crime, and it never got reported, so it wasn't in the background check system. And we saw this, again, we've seen it over and over. There's some warnings. But this amount of warnings,
yep.
This amount of threat, where people basically said he had done enough, he had crossed the threshold to be arrested, to be imprisoned because of the threats
certainly
to people's life,
yep.
Holding guns against people's heads. I mean, so this is someone that, again, more action could have been taken against and certainly yep. could have been under local law enforcement surveillance as well as the federal side working together. They should have gotten the tip to the field office and the FBI.
I'm also feeling, and I'm sure Logan could address this too, and that is because he's got one of our grandchildren in school, that returning to school tomorrow at that school. And that's going to be a tough time.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't even imagine. I mean, I've had friends who've posted in Florida that they've had more threats even come up.
Yeah.
And you don't even know the severity of these threats. But there's also a system where they're almost putting it on the parent. Like, we have a threat. We don't know if it's real. We don't know if it's not. You decide whether you want your kids to go back to school, and yep. that's also going to be a problem.
And yet this sheriff, they've got emails going around from the sheriff's office directing their employees to defend him. That's what they're focusing on right now, to say that the staff members should vigorously support him as he finds himself up against a flurry of media allegations. Like, he's dealing with a tough time right now.
Yeah.
Not the families who have lost, the 17 people who have lost their life, the people who are fighting for their lives in the hospital. And they're writing, he stood with us, now we must stand with him. I mean, this is really sickening.
Yep.
When they're focusing on their politicians.
All right,
that's what you got to remind yourself.
We'll find
yourself.
Out what's going on in Washington about this when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
All right, yes, that's right. We'll be right back. You can find us online, Facebook and Periscope. Just find us online. Again, Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast. So we left you with a discussion about the sheriff of Broward County sending out an email to his staff regarding backing the sheriff up, even though they've got a catastrophic failure on their hands that they won't fail to recognize. And I'm going to play for you Jake Tapper from CNN, who I think has done a great job on this whole topic. Listen to what he had to say and listen to the question from the answer from the sheriff.
I think there are a lot of people, sir, who think that there are a lot of mistakes other than that one deputy. Do you think that if the Broward Sheriff's Office had done things differently, this shooting might not have happened?
Listen, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, O.J. Simpson would still be in the record books.
I don't know what that means. There's 17 dead people, and there's a whole long list of things your department could have done differently.
Yeah, well, they're good for Jake Tapper, bad for Sheriff Israel, and that's just fact. Now, there's discussions going on in Washington, D.C. as well. So let's go to Fan Bennett, our director of governmental affairs. He was in those meetings yesterday. What's the latest there?
Well, honestly, the discussions in D.C. really carry on that conversation. It's so offensive, Jay. Nobody is taking accountability. You talked about the sheriff, but the FBI is not taking accountability either. The FBI did brief Senator Grassley on all that happened. To our knowledge, Jay, nobody has been removed at the FBI for failing to pass along those tips, and we don't think that that is in sight. There is legislation that is being discussed. John Cornyn and Chris Murphy on a bipartisan basis are discussing it. But, Jay, look, I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to involve background checks, potentially a raise in the age, although I think that's going to fall off the table as well. Nothing, Jay, from a federal level that is going to stop the next attack. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done. Maybe it should be. But until the conversation reaches the level as the one that the president is having with localities, it is not going to prevent the next attacks. We have to equip localities to harden their schools. Otherwise, we're going to be having the same discussion down the road.
Yeah, so I think this is right. We're trying to get to the reality of what can be done in a situation like this. We're also getting calls coming in at 1-800-684-3110. We're getting comments as well. Logan, you want to take a call or a comment?
Sure, let's go to Greg in Montana on line 5. You're on the air.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'm just not so quick to blame these four officers. I think there's a large amount of fault that falls with Sheriff Israel. I'm hearing today on Laura Ingraham that he's not going to release the tape transcripts of the radio conversations that happened. That should be public property, I would think. And something's up with that. If he's not going to release that information, maybe he told him to stand down.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's why the Florida governor has asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to investigate, and they're doing that. So that investigation is ongoing right now. And I think that's the appropriate response, is that there's an ongoing investigation going on by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. However, I think there's failures here on multiple levels, and we're just now seeing – I don't think we know the tip of the iceberg here. I really don't.
Yeah, we know there's been federal issues at the FBI. So it's not all the Sheriff's Department, because the FBI was being warned about this as well, with tremendous resources available to them, and they never informed their field office that oversees this area in Florida. So that's in Broward County, which would have been the Miami-Dade field office that's for the FBI, but they oversee this area. They never even told about this individual. So that's what explained that first. Remember the initial bizarre comments from the FBI agent in charge on the ground there, as if they kind of knew nothing. They didn't know anything. The sheriff's office, though, is different. And I think when you hear that comment he makes about O.J. Simpson and that, at this point, you've got someone who's kind of like lost their mind politically, needs to stop talking, and needs to be removed from office. And I think that they need to start looking at that option. He's doing nothing but damaging and hurting the people who are actually hurting, not politically, but physically. And they're going through the mental pain and suffering of losing loved ones, having to go back to that school. How about let's get a sheriff there who is not focusing so much on himself, but while the kids are going back to school today, and he's focusing on making sound bites to CNN and can't explain. I mean, he's starting to talk gibberish. And when you start doing that, it means he can't deal with the strain of this either. And that may be because of bad decisions he made. That may be because of the stress of the situation.
Yep.
But step aside and don't be the story anymore. If you want to do the right thing, step aside and let someone come in who can make those parents feel like their kids are going to be safe today when they return to
school. Well, I don't also like the fact that Than's saying that the people at the FBI office, as far as we know, at the public access line are all still there.
If they've been removed, Jay, I think we'd know about it by now. Yeah. I mean, because they would want to get out ahead of this story. There would have been an announcement. And just to piggyback on something that Jordan said, the people that are hurting here, the victims, those students are actually here this week. Jay, they met yesterday with Congressman Steve Scalise, who was a victim of one of these shootings as well. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, people that were in the room, they did not carry themselves the way that Sheriff Israel is. This was a back and forth, an exchange of ideas. What can the federal government do to equip our localities to do what we want to protect our children? That was the tone of the conversation, and really the sheriff should learn from it.
Yeah, I am a big supporter of law enforcement, but sometimes they don't do the right thing, and here they did not.
He seems to be doubling down, too. It's like each time why is he still doing interviews? Why does he keep going out? The statements that he's made. I mean, the fact that tremendous job, I want to play that for people. The fact that he could make a statement like this, do we have that soundbite so we can play it for people, that he's done such a great job, regardless of whether that is true or not in all the other areas of law enforcement he oversees in Broward County, doesn't matter during this two-week period. He should never make a statement like this as a public official, and yet he did. Take a listen.
I've given amazing leadership to this agency.
Amazing leadership?
Jake, there's a lot of things we've done throughout this. You don't measure a person's leadership by a deputy not going in.
Actually, that's not true. You do. By a deputy not going in to protect the students. Well, you do, because admirals have been fired because people way down the chain of command had accidents at sea. So that's, and we'll talk to Wes Smith about that later in the broadcast. But I mean, this idea that he should not be held accountable because he wasn't the sheriff is ridiculous. But I blame the same thing on the FBI. Where is the action here? That's the great question. Where is the action? We're taking your calls and comments. And what do you think should be done? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You want to take a comment, Logan?
Yeah, a lot of people are just saying the sheriff needs to be removed. That's from Greg. A lot of people are saying was there a stand down order or anything like that, or what?
That's
happened?
The question. We don't know.
There's certainly a question about that, because it went from one
to four.
One to four. So first it was one who was the person on duty there, to three more, three additional. They have not resigned, by the way. The one did. He resigned. This was his responsibility. It was the school, and he stayed outside. But what we don't know is why the other three did the same thing. Why the tapes from, because we know a lot of students that with social, they all have phones. The phone calls that were coming in,
yep.
What's the decision-making behind not releasing that? We've already seen the messages that have come in previous to this about this individual. I mean, so they had plenty of information about him. The question, though, is why is this sheriff being so defensive about himself rather than buckling down and getting control of the department and not going out on CNN and doing, you know, interview after interview and making pre-planned comments, obviously, that literally make no sense. I would be nervous today in that county if this was the guy who's the head of law enforcement.
You know, I agree. All right, we're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. We got time for before the break.
Sure, let's go to Raj in Vienna, Virginia, line 5.
Hi, Raj, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for the focus you're bringing on immediate action. I believe he should have been removed as soon as there was enough prima facie evidence of failure. He's vitiating the entire investigation, and he's injecting all these extraneous things, taking attention away from the fact that the children, the parents, need confidence in the person who's sheriff.
Look, I think you're 100% correct. Now, the process upon which you could do removal in Florida, because it's an elected position, what are the grounds? I don't know if we know the answer to this, and we should probably look. Let's get someone to look. What are the grounds for removal of an elected official when they're elected a sheriff? That would be, you know, is it something where he could, of course, he could voluntarily step aside, which he's not going to do. I mean, clearly he is doubling down on this as a matter of policy and principle. The problem is the more he speaks, the worse it gets. So if I'd advise him to not speak so much in a situation like this.
Yeah, I mean, right now what you have is lawmakers asking the governor, Governor Rick Scott, to weigh in and call for him to resign. So it may be that the easiest step is for him to step aside. There probably is a recall. For most politicians, there's those kind of measures in place. And then if it's a really seen as violations, which is not just decision-making that you agree with or not, I'm sure that there are state measures that can come into play there. But the easiest method would be, after dealing with this situation, would have been to step aside at this point, because you're become a distraction. That is a county that does not need law enforcement distracted right now. They need law enforcement on their toes. They need them really focused. And I think it's hurting probably the whole department, because he's out there as the representative for the entire Broward County Sheriff's Department. And if you're one of those sheriff's deputies right now, is this the guy you want out there representing you when you are on the streets having to make the decisions to try and keep the community safe every single day at a time when, as people are preparing to go back to this specific school, there's lots of students in school today in Broward County. Yeah. Thousands upon thousands of schools that need to be secured.
All right, we will be back in just a few minutes. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us online broadcasting live where we don't take breaks. That's at facebook.com/jsecular. Just go, it's the latest post. We are live on Facebook Live. You can find us on Twitter and Periscope at jsecular. Once again, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back in just a few minutes again on JSecular Live. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. School starts tomorrow for the students in Florida, which is going to be, I'm sure, a very emotional day for them. And our thoughts and prayers continue to be with the people there, those that are in the hospital suffering and healing, but also for those students going back. And those parents, it's going to be a lot of, I can't even imagine the pressure they're on. The sheriff is under a lot of heat right now, a lot of fire, so to speak, and that is because he has come out and kind of dealt, he sent out an internal memo saying, Sheriff Israel supported our department. Now we need to defend him from, you know, basically these attacks. The attacks are their failure to do their job. And I asked Professor Harry Hutchison, our director of policy, during the break, kind of what his assessment of the sheriff's statements are. And I'm going to just ask it again for the benefit of our radio audience. What is your sense of that, Harry?
Well, my sense is that Sheriff Israel's statements continue to raise more questions than answers, but they point to one thing and one thing only: Mr. Israel's commitment to incompetence and his ability or attempt to cover up his incompetence and the incompetence of his department. So it's a huge, huge problem, and it's very possible that his failures exemplify the failures of our institutions, broadly speaking, which encompass, for instance, the FBI and other law enforcement agencies.
Now, Logan, you said online the kind of the sentiment that we're getting from our folks that watch on Facebook and Periscope is that this sheriff needs to go.
Yeah, just accountability in general. People are just looking for someone to take. Now, obviously, we always try to point blame, and you know, it's natural. But at this point, you have these ridiculous statements coming out of the sheriff and these statements that clearly riled up people who are listening to him. So you can't really necessarily blame people for wanting to find where the fault is and try their best to correct it.
Do you and Jordan, you're looking right now at the way in which he's removed is basically a recall.
Yeah, I mean, he could resign. Now, the thing with a recall is it is a county this large, so the municipality or district that has 25,000 or more registered electors. So this goes through electors. This would have to be a campaign.
Yeah.
You know, recalls are usually campaigns that are run by organizations. And that's
traumatic for the.
Yeah, it's not like an easy step. It's not like so you've got to have, again, 1,000 electors sign on or 5% of the electors, whatever is greater. Now, it's interesting. By executive order, the governor can suspend them.
Yeah.
So Governor Scott could go in immediately and suspend the sheriff. Now, you have to understand there, why can he do that? It's malfeasance, misfeasance, neglect of duty, habitual drunkenness, incompetence, or permanent inability to perform official duties. I think probably a few of those you could probably go under.
Misfeasance and incompetence.
Yeah, and neglect of duty. So the
state
media
governor has that authority.
He could suspend him. So that doesn't
remove him, but it suspends him.
Yes, and I think at that point, you know, these are politicians. Yep. They get elected. You're not going to move on past that.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call at 800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Teresa, who is calling in Texas on line 3. You're on the air.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Teresa, you there? All right, put Teresa on hold. Let's go to Robert in Dallas, Texas on line 4.
Hi, Robert.
Good morning.
Morning. You're on the air.
Thank you. Got a suggestion here. Actually, it's a two-part suggestion. I keep hearing all of this stuff about putting military in the school, which I agree with. But here in Texas, teachers are armed.
Well, not in all school districts, you know, in Texas.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's the reason why it's two-part.
Yeah.
You see, you should have a certain amount of teachers that are armed in the school. Give them a little bit of a bonus. To, you know, make sure the kids are safe. But then you can come back. You know, I keep hearing it's going to cost billions and billions of dollars to put all of these ex-military in the schools. Well, that's great. You don't need to put as many ex-military in those certain schools where a certain portion of the teachers are armed. Now, you're saving money on one end from the government, so you don't end up have to pay all the ex-military. But at the same time, the state is paying for the teachers with their bonuses.
Sure. So, I mean, there's already, I know there's school districts in Ohio that have that policy in place, as you said, in Texas. And again, this is where we think local control, Harry, is very important. They've got a local solutions to this. But I like what the president outlined on that with the right kind of trained people, administrators, faculty, staff that could be trained, that are trained, and can handle a concealed weapon in an appropriate way.
So I think the caller's suggestion is a very, very important one. It is consistent with the ACLJ's consistent objective of hardening the target, meaning making it more difficult for professional school shooters like Cruz to gain fame and also to create mayhem.
Yeah.
So I think the caller's call is spot on.
All right. Should we continue to take some more calls? As we head to the second half hour, let's go to Bill in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air. Line six.
Hey, guys. Whether it's the sheriff's fault or the guys that were standing there, I don't understand. If you've got kids being killed and you're there on scene with body armor and a weapon, why these guys didn't just say, the heck with the orders, we're going to run in there and save these kids?
I don't know if there was an order telling them not to. I mean, we don't know that fact yet. I mean, there's some conjecture that was there a stand-down order, but we have no evidence that there was a stand-down order. So that's why there needs to be an investigation. That investigation is being led by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And now, Than, again, what were you kind of hearing in Washington as it relates to this? I mean, obviously, it's horrific, and there's all this gun control debate. None of that, though, solves this problem right now.
Right. Well, there are layers to this, and the first one is accountability on both the local and the federal level. And I think the sentiment here in Washington, D.C. is that Sheriff Israel should probably go. But then again, that's kind of the pot calling the kettle black, Jay, because the FBI hasn't done anything with the call center agent that didn't pass along the tip. So there has to be accountability. And by the way, this goes back to something we've talked about on this broadcast for years. There has to be more firing authority. Here's the truth, Jay. That call center agent that didn't pass along that tip, if that was the first egregious mistake they made, it's probably impossible for Director Ray to fire them. So we don't know
ridiculous.
Those facts. But that is ridiculous. The federal government should take care of that. And Jay, the final point I'd say on it in this conversation, we secure the things that are most important to us. So if a locality or a state decides that the way to secure a school is going to require more dollars from a state or federal level, then guess what? We should find those dollars.
Well, I think the question becomes both state and local control, but something has to be done to harden the school as a target, because it clearly is.
Yes, that's right. And so I think when it comes to the gun control issue, that is a long political haul. We're talking about, you know, we can't handle things like DACA, the small fixes to immigration. I think that, again, the gun control issue and policy related, that can be compared in the sense that you've got very strong interests on both sides of the aisle. And you just see, I point to what's happened in Georgia. Delta tried to make that move against the NRA benefit.
Right, did not work.
And Georgia has said, the lieutenant governor who's running for governor there, Casey Cagle, said that we will pull your tax credits. That's about it's worth $40 million to Delta every year, who are based out of Atlanta, obviously a massive airline corporation. So they're going to definitely be rethinking their decision. So these knee-jerk reactions by corporate America are starting to backfire already. And I think that, again, it's not helping the debate.
Doesn't help the kids.
These are distractions from the bigger debate and issues.
Yep. All right. So, Logan, we're going to be here for another half hour. Let everybody know what they can do.
That's right. If you don't get us on your local station, you want to change it up, you can find us broadcasting live online, video and audio, facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope and Twitter @JSeculo, also on ACLJ.org. Available on the ACLJ app. That's in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. Also in the Roku channel store, just search for ACLJ. You can also find the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, however you get your podcasts, and you can have that sent straight to your phone right after we're done recording for the day. It downloads right to it. And we do have another half hour coming up. Phone lines are completely jammed, but they'll open up. That's at 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, and don't forget, folks, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We've been following up on the situation in Florida because the kids are going back to school tomorrow, and that's going to be a traumatic day, an emotional day for these students and for their parents. And our thoughts and prayers are with them and those still in the hospital recovering. But the sheriff of Broward County, as well as the FBI, had catastrophic failures on multiple sides. The FBI's failure involved two tips, to one to a field office that was not followed up on, and another to the public access line, which is the big helpline that exists in a call center that's run by the FBI, where analysts take the information, rank the information when it's involving potential loss of life. It's ranked as the highest priority, and then it is supposed to be sent down to the field office. None of that happened. And based on what Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, is finding out, nothing has happened to those employees that were involved in this complete malfeasance and complete failure. So as far as we know right now, Fan, and you were in the meetings yesterday, nothing has happened.
Well, and the briefing from the FBI to the Senate Judiciary Committee led by Chairman Grassley has already occurred. That occurred at the end of last week, Jay, and we still have no announcement. So if there had been an agent removed or if there had been any recourse taken, I really believe we would have heard about it by now. So it's not like we have an announcement that they're not moving anyone, but I think if they had removed one, we would know about it. I don't think anybody's being held accountable inside the FBI.
And Jordan, the also, as far as the sheriff down there, he has doubled down on his position despite calls now for his resignation.
Right. He's got emails going out to the sheriff's department there. And this, I think, again, talking about distractions, when they are again preparing for the school to reopen, they've got thousands of other students in their county who have been attending schools. You know, the threat levels increase, obviously, after an attack like this. And the failures by law enforcement and the tips that were coming in. So not just failures the day of the attack by Nicholas Cruz, but failures leading up to the attack. So you got two different fronts of failure. And they're sitting around emails saying, stand by your sheriff to the department. He, quote, finds himself up against a flurry of media allegations. He stood with us. Now we must stand with him. And so I think, you know, at this point, when you've got the sheriff's department sending emails like that around, you're talking about not focused on the protection on law enforcement. At that point, when you've kind of mentally crossed over to this line, I think that's when you've got to step aside. And again, they are politicians. They are elected officials. So there's part of that here in place. But their job is law enforcement. If there has been this kind of catastrophic failure, even if it's the first time you've had this kind of catastrophic failure, they are ultimately, they've got to take responsibility. And I think that his issue was trying to, again, shift the blame.
Yep.
And then these comments, which, starting to make statements to the media, which literally don't make sense.
Well, he's doing this because you've got people like Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, making this statement just moments ago.
I had the fortune of being able to go meet with people in Broward County, first responders, local elected leaders, just to hear firsthand about what had happened in the ensuing chaos and the breakdowns that occurred. So this is something that we're very, very, very troubled by, and we are going to be having the kind of conversations we need to have with our fellow members to do what we can do to try and make sure something like this doesn't happen again. And again, there are a lot of system failures that we need to look at here.
There were systematic failures here, Harry, on multiple levels, federal and state.
Absolutely. And so we have a systematic failure with respect to leadership,
yep,
with respect to accountability, and with respect to training. Mr. Israel has said, I gave him a gun, I gave him a badge, I gave him the training. If he didn't have the heart to go in, that's not my responsibility. Then he continues to argue that he has given
that
amazing leadership. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. No, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is, you talk about a catastrophe. We do have the audio on that. We're looking for it. Harry's read it. I want to see if I want to hear that in his voice. Because this is how he's doubling down on everything. I mean, the sheriff. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Also, the president just announced his reelection campaign is up for 2020, Jordan, a little earlier than normal, but this is a whole new political world we're in.
Yeah, that's right. So it's getting attention because he announced a campaign manager. It's a statement that's up on DonaldJTrump.com website, so the Trump campaign website. So it's getting some attention right now, but it is official that the president's announcing his reelection campaign.
Yep.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Colonel Wes Smith has joined us. Let's play the sound from when the sheriff says you can't blame everybody. You know, when a mistake's made, you don't always blame. It's the leadership quote. Do we have that one available? Yeah, let's go ahead and play that.
I've given amazing leadership to this agency.
Amazing leadership?
I've worked, yes, Jake. There's a lot of things we've done throughout this. You don't measure a person's leadership by a deputy not going in.
Okay, so Wes, you served in the military. You also made the statement later that, generals camp and presidents aren't held accountable for mistakes down line. And you said that's fundamentally a misunderstanding of how the military actually works.
Absolutely. And it's a misunderstanding really of how most law enforcement agencies work. In the military and in law enforcement, there is a culture of accountability. The leader takes responsibility for everything in his down trace. And so his statement is really off the mark. For example, last summer, Jay, when we had a series of, yep. of collisions of naval ships in the Pacific, the commander of the 7th Fleet, a 3-star admiral, Admiral O'Coin, was relieved of command. But not just the 3-star, one of his deputies, a 2-star admiral, who was in charge of the task force of the ship. Neither of these admirals, by the way, were in the vicinity of the ships that wrecked.
But they were responsible.
They were responsible. They were relieved. The squadron commander over that squadron was relieved, as were the captains of each of the ships, and yet neither of the captains were steering the ship.
Yep.
The Broward County Sheriff's Department is the largest fully accredited sheriff's department in the nation.
So let's talk about, yeah, so it's a big sheriff's department, but let's talk about the political accountability, because as you said, Jordan, and I think this is important for people to understand, they're not appointed, they are elected.
Yeah, that's right. So as elected officials, there's a couple of course, they're going to be accountable next election cycle. Usually, sheriff's races are not hyper-partisan, and they're kind of, once you're an incumbent, you're kind of locked in, unless an incident like this occurs, a scandal or some kind of massive failure in law enforcement. And so here I think he's obviously got political problems if he were to survive this. But the governor can come in and suspend you. I think that the grounds have been met under the Florida statutes for that. That's malfeasance, misfeasance, neglect of duty, incompetence. So I think that's there if Rick Scott is willing to act and he's getting the pressure, which I think is – the right kind of pressure for the governor to take that action, because it's a huge step. Yeah. There is a recall, but yeah. I'll tell you, the way these recall statutes are written, these are campaigns
yeah.
that you've got to run to recall someone. It's not something that happens overnight. So it's a major step, because you are changing the outcome of a
election.
Vote.
Yeah,
of
it should election. Be hard to do.
And so
right.
Now the easiest is obviously the people actually are realistic. They see the writing on the wall and they resign. But I think what you've got here is a sheriff that realizes when you got Paul Ryan talking about it, the state, that there's going to be massive investigations into their department. So whatever they were doing wrong, whatever dots they weren't crossing and not following things by the book are going to be exposed. And there could be major, we've seen that over and over with law enforcement at the local level, major problems when they start taking a deep look.
Wes?
Yeah, under the Florida Constitution, the governor has the authority to suspend any official who is not subject to impeachment. And so the county sheriffs are not subject to impeachment. The Governor Scott can suspend him for any reason, and then it's up to the state Senate.
Well, it's not any reason. It's a statutory base. It has to be incompetence, malfeasance.
Malfeasance, criminal, those kinds, I don't mean literally for any reason. Yeah. But then the Senate, it's up to them to either reinstate the person or make the suspension permanent. And again,
but it's an elected office, so you know they're going to always tread carefully on that.
This guy, it can't be at all partisan. It can't, and again, I think it can't be knee-jerk. But what's happened is this is a sheriff that keeps doubling down. And what I'm worried about, what I would worry about the most if I was in Broward County, is that he seems so distracted and the department seems so distracted. As Wes said, it's a massive department to be overseeing. And if you're just focusing on the PR side of this, which you've handled in a disastrous way at this point, again, you're this distracted, you're not focusing on getting your people up to speed. That's very scary as the school reopens. And again, we're talking about one school there, but this is a huge county.
Let me play bite number 23. You talk about a leadership issue. Take a listen to this.
Leaders are not responsible for a person. I gave him a gun. I gave him a badge. I gave him the training. If he didn't have the heart to go in, that's not my responsibility.
Harry?
It's stunning. So what we have here is egregious misconduct by Sheriff Israel. He failed to focus on his duty, which was law enforcement. Indeed, the record will show that he has focused more of his attention on political patronage than law enforcement. When he was previously accused of corruption, he responded with a paraphrase quote from the Game of Thrones: "Lions don't care about the opinions of sheep." The manner of corruption at his department is illuminating. He has an enormous patronage program. Instead of focusing on law enforcement, he has hired political allies to go out and raise funds and ensure his reelection. And he's paying over almost $400,000 to these individuals who are patronage employees.
Yep.
So Sheriff Israel is not focused on law enforcement.
All right,
he is focused on his reelection.
Yep. Let's take another call, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Let's go to Teresa in Texas, line 3.
Hi, Teresa. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey. I just want to let you know, I really believe that it's the local issue. I have a brother who's a sheriff.
Yep.
And he was already working on this with some of the schools before this happened.
Sure.
And a lot of the issues is finance. And some of the people on the board and other people, I assume, is kind of in denial. But he said after this that that it was going to be kind of move forward very quickly.
Well,
and I know that in the last week or so, that they have been to county schools and doing all kinds of safety forums.
The safety forums are happening all over the country. I mean, schools here have done it, and our media center is located. I mean, schools are doing that. But I think they're going to have to get armed, concealed carry individuals that are either on staff, teachers, faculty, administrators that are trained appropriately, background checks done, so that there are more people that can take an assailant out than one school resource officer, which is difficult for the school resource. I'm not excusing the not going in, but I will say that, you know, I think we have to have more law enforcement. And then, is there any focus in Washington on hardening the target, which is what we've been saying at the ACLJ from the outset, that this is not about gun control, this is about hardening the target, focusing in on protecting the children?
There's some, Jay, but in my opinion, not enough. I mean, look, a lot of federal officials are going to point to the fact that this should be state funding or local funding. And it's true that counties, you know, secure courthouses and states secure state houses. But, Jay, this is me speaking, not the ACLJ necessarily, but I think this is appropriate for the federal government to assist in that. I mean, I think securing our citizens, especially our kids, is something that the federal government could play a role in incentivizing, something like a federal state matching grant. That conversation is out there. I'm usually the last person you think about to talk about federal dollars. Jay, I think this would make a lot of sense to actually encourage localities to come up with a program like that. I think that conversation should take root.
Yeah, and back on the sheriff, he makes another statement to our friend Jake Tapper of CNN, and here's what he said. Listen to 12.
I've given amazing leadership to this agency.
Amazing leadership?
I've worked, yes, Jake, there's a lot of things we've done throughout this. This is, you don't measure a person's leadership by a deputy not going in.
Well, actually you do, but there's also, that wasn't the only failure here. There was catastrophic failures in the fact that there were somewhere between 25 and 44 times that individuals called on this person exclusive of what the FBI got here. So this is, he's trying to focus on the deputy, and it's, the deputy was obviously, there was a problem with the deputy in that particular case. And I know most deputies, this would not be an issue, but it was for this one. And as far as we know, we don't know all the facts on that, but we do know this, that there were a lot of warning signs about this kid and his department didn't follow up on it.
No, I think with that deputy, there are a lot of things you can kind of take into account. He resigned. So I think that by that action, again, you see that he wasn't just put on leave, but he actually made the choice to quit his position. Yep. And so I think that's very telling. The other three, we're not sure about whether that came from a leadership decision or not. But what we do know is that if you have a failure like this, I think you could have spoken to it honestly, openly, apologize for what were obviously missed situations, and probably in this kind of situation, moved on. You would have had investigations, obviously, into what went wrong, but not this kind of media scrutiny. The sheriff's brought this on himself, and I think now that the media has gotten him to continue to make these comments, it's shedding light on probably an area we all needed to shed light on, which is that some of these is kind of Harry went through. When you get to the political aspects of these law enforcement officials, the politics can take over their job, and they're not focused on running their actual departments.
All right, we're going to take more calls when we come back from the break and last segment of the broadcast, so get your calls and comments into Logan.
That's right. A couple of phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us online to get your comments in. We'll take some of those during the show and during the break. And if we don't get to your comment during the show or during the breaks, know that someone on our social team reads them on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/jsekulow. But again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, and don't forget, again, your support of the ACLJ critical here, aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So when you actually look at the context now, what's happening in Broward County, and I think we're focusing on this because if you were in Broward County right now and you've got the situation, the school's about to reopen, where this horrific incident has occurred, massive loss of life. You've got a sheriff, and so the law enforcement there, under so much scrutiny and making such bizarre statements to the media that you have to wonder if they're able to focus, and then can their entire department focus. But then if you understand how they see leadership in general and their position in general, the bizarre way they see their job. So I want to play this a longer statement from Sheriff Israel in Broward County. This gets to that ultimate statement about giving the sheriff deputy a gun and saying, you know, if he doesn't go in there, that's not my responsibility. But listen to the broader context this was in and the distinctions he's trying to make as a politician and not taking any responsibility. Take a listen.
I'm the sheriff. My name's on the door. The people responsible are the ones who took the calls and didn't follow up on them, as it was with the FBI, as it was with any person. Leaders are responsible for the agency, but leaders are not responsible for a person. I gave him a gun. I gave him a badge. I gave him the training. If he didn't have the heart to go in, that's not my responsibility.
I mean, he's got to, at that point, he's got to go. I mean, and I'm not a resident of Broward County, but the people in Florida should be standing up. And I know, and I think that these residents are under such tremendous stress. This is probably not what they want to be focusing on right now, and these families want to be focusing on right now. But for every other family in Florida and in that county, you want law enforcement who it's focused. And this guy is saying, I'm only responsible for the agency, but not the people that work for there. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Pick the person.
My name is on the door, but I'm not responsible for what happens inside the building.
You said you gave him a gun, you gave him a badge. Well, then you did a poor job picking that person, unfortunately.
It's an egregious passing of the buck.
I mean, he's throwing everybody under the bus in his entire department. The entire So, I mean, I would think that his deputies also, would be, at this point, right on the edge of speaking out. And I think what he's concerned about the most is not just the political fallout and the power that he may be losing, because obviously this is someone, but that if he's had these scrutiny in the past for corruption and they're about to launch massive investigations in his department, that is probably what is most troubling, unfortunately, right now to the sheriff. Instead of this massive loss of life, he's worried about the investigations that are coming, and I think that's why you're starting to see these reactions that are so unexplainable. I'm to the point where, I mean, bizarre. Play the O.J. Simpson bite. I mean, just let's play that one for people. At what point do you say enough is enough? And maybe the governor's got enough now to get that to take the stand and put him on notice to suspend him.
I think there are a lot of people, sir, who think that there are a lot of mistakes other than that one deputy. Do you think that if the Broward Sheriff's Office had done things differently, this shooting might not have happened?
Hey, listen, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, O.J. Simpson would still be in the record books.
I don't know what that means. There's 17 dead people, and there's a whole long list of things your department could have done differently.
I mean, O.J. Simpson. I don't know what it means either. I think that you've got someone who's not thinking any more rationally. At that point, when the governor can step in. That's why I think that statute exists, to be able to suspend them. Again, it's you don't do that lightly, because these are elected officials. The recall would take a very long time too. But if this is not a sheriff willing to resign, I think probably the pressure's, and it's the right thing for the governor to step in at this point, because these kind of statements are so irrational and kind of point to someone who's either lost it because of the pressure. And they're letting him keep going out there, which is bad. But also, if you look at his history, this is actually not that surprising that the reaction is so aggressive instead of taking responsibility. Let's take another call.
Yep. Let's go to Dolores in Texas on line six.
Hey, Dolores.
Hi, thank you for all that you do. I just wanted to let you know you were talking about local school districts doing this and taking care of it, and we did this 4 or 5 years ago in our school district. That the teachers, staff are armed. Nobody knows who they are, but it was all voluntary. They were trained and staff, and we have signs instead of saying gun-free zones. They say, please be aware that the staff at our schools are armed and may use whatever force is necessary to protect our students. And I know all the parents and everything really appreciate that.
Well, I think that, Dolores, you're speaking to an issue that for some people in other places, they're shocked when they hear it because, you know, we're on in every state across the country right now. We're talking to the people who are in places that have never heard of this idea before. And the truth is, when President Trump proposed it, some acted like they were shocked. How could this be a proposal? How could it? But it's actually happening. It's happened for years at the local level. So it's not bizarre to, as the President of the United States, to say, let's take what we've seen work effectively at the local level and expand it nationally.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Kay in Missouri, line 4. Kay, you're on the air. Thanks for holding for so long.
Yes, I was going to say that in 1991, I'm from California originally, and we had a school shooting, and he came in purposely for a teacher. And we put these teachers in there to protect and to teach our kids, and they do have to protect them. I mean, for weather things and all kinds of things. We put our trust in the teachers. So if that teacher then had had a gun, knowing the kid who was walking in the door had a problem, perhaps not as many would have died. It was a hostage thing, went on for hours. We just lost my brother from a car accident, and then his two kids were in that school. It was a terrible thing to go through.
Yeah.
But they said that they were going to take care of this by doing all these things like this where people would call in and all.
Right.
But it's not working. So it's too late. It's not working. We have failure here. We have failure all along the line. Let the people who are there protect the kids.
Yeah, I think that that's getting to the point. I mean, Harry West, I mean, we kind of go around. The idea is that whatever was put in place after this started happening and became kind of an American phenomenon, and the FBI just a few years ago opening up the tip line, it is not working because people are calling in with the information, but it's not getting to the right people. And some of that could be, I think, with terrorism can be the politics of that. But I think the caller's right. Whatever has been tried to put in place has not been working. We need to look at these districts that have done successful jobs, and in those, it's been the teachers in the district that have gotten armed. Not all of them, but some of them.
The caller is rightly focused on the target, which is schools. And so we need to harden the target. And in addition, we need accountable leadership. So that means the immediate removal of individuals who fail us. Law enforcement, FBI officials who fail us need to be immediately terminated in order to improve school safety.
All right, let me go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, as we finish out the broadcast today, federally, what do we expect? I mean, we see some of the gun control debate. What's happening in Washington? What should people look for? Is that where the issue is going to be? Are we talking about the mental health issue? Is it just kind of opening the debate again, or do you think action will actually be taken?
Jordan, I think you'll see debate on a bill for the background system. I think there's a possibility there might be a concealed carry reciprocity as part of that debate. But ultimately, I think the president is right on this, that Congress would do a much better job looking for ways to empower parents and school boards to make decisions like other jurisdictions have that have worked. Look, if I'm going to put my kid in a school, I want the ability to go to that school board and say, this is what I think will make my kid safe. And Jordan, have that school board be available and be free to actually implement that procedure. That's what the president's getting after.
Yeah, and I think that there are a lot of education needs to be done, because if people knew that this was already being done, I don't think it'd be as shocking to hear. And the media tries to portray it as shocking, and it's not. It's happening. It's happening successfully. Listen, we'll continue just this discussion on JSEC Live as it warrants. We'll continue to pray for the families in Florida. We will talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.